force anyone to do anything. You know what I mean? You have to make them want to do something or want to love something. And when we talk about jazz, I think the way I've learned to teach is to show my love for it and show the joy it can bring me and the uplifting it can bring to people of all kinds, you know, old people or young people or children or, you know, people from different countries, people from communist countries, you know. I've been all over the world, and if you are true to what you're doing and you really feel what you're doing, other people are going to feel it too. So a lot of times I like to listen to music with students, and you know, I saw a picture of Lionel Hampton out there on the wall, and when I was walking in, you know, we listened to Lionel Hampton together, and I showed the joy that it brings me to listen to that and how I'm hearing the music, and you know, other people I think can see that. If they're really interested in it, or if they're open to it, they'll see that and they'll hear it and they'll feel it and they'll watch me listen to it. And listening to music together is something that is a little bit lost these days. And I think I have a great community of friends back home in New York where we learned a lot about music by listening together. And when you listen together, different people hear different things and you notice different things. And you listen to a piece of music, you know, by Charlie Parker, one time, it's like, okay, you heard it. Two times, okay, you heard it twice. You know, five times, you're like, oh yeah, okay, I kind of get it. You know, 10 times, you know, you start to understand what he's kind of doing. Then, you know, 50 times, maybe you know every note in the piece. You know, every note of improvisation and not only the notes, but the feeling that goes along with those notes and how, you know, how to feel that. And everyone feels it differently, which is very important for musicians because, you know, we're always playing to different kind of audiences. So we have to be able to adjust on the spot and know, you know, who's listening and how we can affect those people in the best possible way. I've recently understood the importance of the history of all the things that the musicians we love were going through and the period of time they lived in, and it's very important to understand that and to hear their music but to realize, you know, what was happening in that era, to be able to, you know, forge ahead to the future and say, okay, this is the music I'm playing now, how does this relate to my era? And so, you know, it's the same thing with any kind of history or, sure, you know, world history. You know, they always say, you know, consider the past and so you don't repeat the, you know, mistakes.
Right.
That
if you don't learn from history, you're destined to repeat the same mistakes.
Yeah. Not that there are mistakes in music, but it's not only mistakes. You know, it's just how to improve and how to make, you know, how to make music better and how to you know, communicate it with other people. I hate to talk about problems, but you know, one of the problems is also, you know, problems can be advantages, in some ways, but there is so much music accessible on the internet, on Spotify, and on your phone, and everyone's got so much that you know, you don't really get that deep into any one thing. You kind of just scratch the surface of many things, and so. I think that's one of my messages, is to just, you know, just pick something and really, really learn about it, because that will bring you deeper into the music. And I think connecting with the people who aren't here anymore, like the Art Tatums and the Fats Wallers and the Thelonious Monks and the Bud Powell and even some people that are still here, like Barry Harris, and some people that have passed recently, like Cedar Walton.
Sure.
You know, and really connecting with their spirit.